Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We welcome you to this program. It is the spiritual breakfast, alhamdulillah, and it is from 8:30 to 9:00 on a Jumu'ah. You know, Yawmul Jumu'ah, we have Mufti Muhammad Aku Saab Damad Barakatuhu. Let's welcome Mufti Saab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana Saab and our wonderful listeners. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, all is well. Inshallah, we hope the listeners are well too. We had the good news this morning. I was so happy when we saw how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with the enemies. And this William Rothschild, who was the very same one who was speaking on behalf of his family, the Rothschild family, how they helped to create the rogue regime Israel. And he burned to death in his home. 45 firefighters couldn't rescue him, and he died. And that's quite something for us. Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah. Ajib, the ayah of the Quran Kareem, I think we mentioned this ayah last week, Friday. Allah Ta'ala says, it's the end of Surah Ibrahim. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ. Allah Ta'ala says, never ever think that Allah Ta'ala is negligent, that Allah is unaware of what the zalims are perpetrating. Allah is giving them respite for a time, that Allah Ta'ala, where their eyes will be shocked and dazzled. So that we would exhort our listeners also, see the translation of this verse, Surah Ibrahim, chapter 14, verses 42 onward. What would happen to the zalim? Subhanallah. And how Allah gives people chance to wake up, to realize, and if they don't change, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala terminates them, eradicates them. Like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تغبطن فاجرا. Never ever be envious of a fajir. So fajir is the zalim, the oppressor, whether non-Muslim, and sometimes a Muslim who is Muslim by name, but he's oppressive, and he's a wrongdoer, and he harms others. Allah Ta'ala save us. But this is mainly a non-Muslim, but it encompasses. So Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, never be envious of such a person. لا تغبطن فاجرا, because فَإِنَّ وَرَاءَهُ قَاتِلًا يعني النار. Because awaiting him is the destroyer, the crusher that will eradicate him, referring to the fire of Jahannam. In another hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُعْطِي الْعَبْدَ عَلَى مَعَاصِيهِ مَا يُحِبْ. If you see a man receiving things he likes, bounties, blessings, despite him defying and disobeying Allah, don't envy such a person. And don't think that is a blessing upon that person. Allah is just giving them rope. فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ إِسْتِدْرَاجِ. Allah is just giving them rope and giving them respite for them to drown themselves further, to get the most severest of punishments. And sometimes Allah Ta'ala gives them an opportunity and gives them a wake-up call and a chance. That's why, subhanallah, amazing is Surah Al-Fath of the Quran Kareem, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to the Muslims during the expedition of Hudaybiyah. What an amazing chapter of the Quran Kareem that details the entire event of Hudaybiyah. And subhanallah, this comes after Surah Muhammad. So Surah Muhammad, chapter 47. Surah Fath, chapter 48. And this is the detail of this expedition called Hudaybiyah, where Muslims camped outside Makkah Mukarramah and they weren't allowed to enter. They were barred by the mushrikeen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want the Muslims to fight. And Allah gives the reason why. Subhanallah, Allah ta'ala says to the Muslims, because when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was marching towards Makkah, and then his camel halted. Qaswa was the camel's name. So Sahaba found it very strange that Qaswa is defiant now. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, it's not defiance of Qaswa. Ma khala'atil Qaswa. And that's not her nature. This is a very docile, submissive, obedient camel. But Allah is teaching us a lesson. Habasaha habisul fil. The Allah who stopped the elephant in its tracks as it was charging towards demolishing the Kaaba. The same Allah halted this camel, because everything belongs to Allah. Everything is in the hands of Allah, under the control of Allah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah wants me to tell you that we want peace here. And we are waiting for an opportunity of a peace treaty. No matter what deal they offer us, we're going to accept it. Then Allah Ta'ala in this chapter tells us that those disbelievers in verse 25, هُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, they were disbelievers and they barred you from Masjid al-Haram. whilst your sacrificial animals were awaiting to get to the point of sacrifice. وَالْهَدِيَ مَعْكُوفًا أَن يَبْلُغَ مَحِلَّهُ. And Allah says, had it not been for certain men, وَلَوْلَا رِجَالٌ مُؤْمِنُونَ وَنِسَاءٌ مُؤْمِنَاتٌ, male and female believers inside Makkah. You didn't know that they were believers yet, but they were believers. You were in Medina Munawwara, but in Makkah Mukarrama, deen was spreading. And those people became believers. Deen was in them. They were concealing their deen for some reason. لَمْ تَعْلَمُوهُمْ أَن تَطَعُوهُمْ. If you had to conquer Makkah at that time, you would have trampled those believers. And that would have been a shame upon you. And you would have done it unknowingly. فَتُصِيبَكُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَعَرَّةٌ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. مَعَرَّة means shame. مَعَرَّة also means sin. Then Allah Ta'ala says, why Allah doesn't want you to fight also? لِيُدْخِلَ اللَّهُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And Allah will place and bring into His mercy who He wants to. So this is a clear indication that there are certain people in Makkah. Allah wants to give them hidayat. Allah wants to give them respite. And Allah wants to give them an opportunity to change. So not now. Leave it for now. So subhanAllah, Allah gives people respite. Allah gives them an opportunity to change. And if they don't want that opportunity, they will find their end definitely sooner or later, as you're saying, Mawlana. MashaAllah. Barakallahu feek.
JazakumAllah khairan for that insight. Alhamdulillah. Thumma alhamdulillah. Mufti Sahib, now coming, we're reaching just the last stretch, or the last few days at least, of Jumad al-Ula. Mufti Sahib, there are many events that we haven't touched as yet as well. If Mufti Sahib can share with us, inshallah.
MashaAllah. Ji. So one very pertinent event I want to share. It took place in Jumad al-Ula, the 8th year after Hijrah. And this coincides with August 629. And subhanAllah, this was the intro. This was the intro for Islam going into the world. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born, his mother saw an amazing vision. This is a hadith in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I am the dua, the fulfillment of the dua of my father, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. I am the good news of Isa alayhi salam. Wa bushra Isa. So interestingly, Christians always speak about the good news. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I am that good news. And in John chapter 16, in that chapter, clearly Isa alayhi salam says, there's many things I want to say to you, but you cannot bear them. But when he, the man of truth, is come, but obviously they have tried to conceal it as much as they want, they could in their translations and versions of the Bible. But it's clear that this good news, and this comes in Surah Saf as well. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِي. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam came to tell the people, I'm giving you good news, مُبَشِّرًا, of a Nabi, a great Nabi, رَسُولٍ يَأْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِي. A Nabi coming after me, his name is Ahmad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was mentioned by name in the previous scriptures, but they tried to hide it as much as possible. But it's still mentioned clearly in the Gospel of Barnabas. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I am the good news given to the world by Hazrat Isa Alaihi Salam. وَرُؤْيَا أُمِّي. And there was a vision of my mother. She saw this when I was born. She saw emanate from her womb nur that enlightened the world. But she mentioned specifically the lands of Sham. So subhanAllah, and that was the superpower of the then world. And Hazrat and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Mubarak birth, then his mother sees this, and this is happening now. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sends these Sahaba out in Allah's way, it was Jumad al-Ula, it was the 8th year, it was a powerful army of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and they're going for this expedition. But who was chosen as the Amir of this expedition is what I want to share with one and all, because subhanAllah, this is such a great Sahabi radiallahu anhu, that Sahaba say when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent Sahaba out, it was always this Sahabi who was sent as the Amir. And he is that Sahabi who is explicitly mentioned in the Quran Kareem by name. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah Ta'ala mentions him by name. As a young boy, he comes from an Arab tribe, the Banu Kalb clan. And what happened was, there was invaders that invaded his caravan. And he was traveling with his mother, and he was then taken captive, and he was sold in the marketplace of Uqav. It was Hakim bin Hizam who then purchased him for 400 dirhams. And now, Hakim bin Hizam, whose aunt was none other than Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. Now remember, this is long before the advent of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hakim bin Hizam came to Hazrat Khadija and gifted her none other than this young wonderful boy who had so much of potential. So this boy comes into the position of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. She in turn gives him to none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this child comes into the care of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, at first he was enslaved, but he comes into Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's care, and subhanallah, he wasn't now treated like a slave. He was treated with love and compassion. But what happened to his mother? His mother's name was Su'da bint Thalaba, the mother of Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu. So this sahabi is Zayd radiallahu anhu. His mother was Su'da and his father was Haritha. Haritha bin Shurahil. And now his father is looking for him high and low, everywhere searching and relentlessly looking for his son. Looking for his son, searching for his son, crying for his son. Actually, the reports of history, Ibn Hisham, Abu Umar Qurtubi, Ibn al-Athir, Ibn Asakir, all mention the poems rendered by Haritha. It's called Lamia because every line, every verse of this poem ends with a lam. He's crying and he's searching for his son. The words go, بكيت على زيد ولم أدر ما فعل أحي فيرجى أم أتى دونه الأجل فوالله ما أدري وإن كنت سائلا أغالك بعدي السهل أم غالك الجبل فليت شعري هل لك الدهر رجعة فحسبي من الدنيا رجوعك لي بجل تذكرني الشمس عند طلوعها وتعرض ذكراه إذا غربها أفل وإن هبت الأرواح هيجن ذكره فيا طول ما حزني عليه ويا وجل سأعمل نص العيس في الأرض جاهدا ولا أسأم التطواف أو تسأم الإبل حياتي أو تأتي علي منيتي وكل امرئ فان وإن غره أمل سأوصي به قيسا وعمرا كليهما وأوصي يزيدا ثم من بعده جبل. Now, subhanAllah, he's crying and he's rendering. He says, I cry for Zayd. I don't know what happened to him. Is he alive? That I can still hope for him. Or has my son Zayd passed on? Ajal. See, every verse ends with alarm. By Allah, I don't know. But I ask myself, has Zayd been taken by the highlands or the lowlands? Is he astray? Is he gone? He was young, a young boy. Is he lost in the lowlands? Or is he lost in the highlands, the mountains? Oh, I wish I know. Will I ever get him back? Because that's all I want in this world. For hasbi min ad-dunya, that my son comes back to me. Tudhakkiruni shams, every time the sun rises, it reminds me of Zayd. And I'm reminded of him again when the sun sets. I can't see the beauty of the sunrise or the sunset. It's just my son's vision in my mind and in my heart. And every time the wind blows, it entices his memory again. And oh, how my grief has prolonged upon him and my pain. I will exert the speed of my conveyance, searching for him. سَأُعْمِلُ نَصَّ الْعِيسِ. عِيس is the fast camel. Nass is a very fast speed that the camel can gallop at. I'm going to exert its speed and I will not stop searching. وَلَا أَسْأَمُ التَّطْوَافَ. I'll not stop my tatwaf, my searching for him throughout the globe. Even if my camel gets tired, I won't get tired. Throughout my life, unless I die in this endeavor, even though every person has to die. And then he says, even if I'm dying, I will tell the Qais tribe, the Amr tribe. I'll tell Yazid also, look for him. I'll tell Jabal, look for him. And like that, these were his other sons, and the other is his brother. And that was his pain, looking for his son. But where is Zayd now? Now Zayd was in Makkah, Mukarrama. He's not treated like a slave. He is close to none other than the amazing personality. Who's this amazing personality? None other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when some pilgrims came from the Kalb clan to perform pilgrimage, they saw Zayd. He recognized them, they recognized him, and he heard about the pains and the anguish of his father. And he tried now to remove his father's pangs, to notify his father that I'm no more, I'm not in difficulty, father. I'm living in comfort with the best of people. And then he told them, please, would you convey these verses to my father? Because the father was so sad at his loss. So he says, أَحِنُّ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِي وَإِنْ كُنْتُ نَائِيًا فَإِنِّي قَطِينُ الْبَيْتِ عِنْدَ الْمَشَاعِرِ فَكُفُّوا عَنِ الَّذِي قَدْ شَجَاكُمُ وَلَا تُعْمِلُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ نَصَّ الْأَبَاعِرِ فَإِنِّي بِحَمْدِ اللَّهِ فِي خَيْرِ أُسْرَةٍ كِرَامِ مَعَدٍ كَابِرًا بَعْدَ كَابِرِ He said, I also yearn for my people, even though I live far from you. But now, indeed, I am a resident of the Kaaba. I live in Mecca. So what he means here is, I live in Mecca Mukarrama by the sacred practices of the pilgrims, by the mashair, by the symbols of holiness, of Hajj. Stop crying for me and don't exert and exhort and exert yourselves and your camels in search for me, because for indeed, with Allah's praise, I am now with the noblest of families. I live with the nobles of the Ma'ad clan. Lineage after lineage, I live in the noblest of lineages and among the noblest of people, the most honorable of people. Anyway, father hears about his son somewhere. He doesn't mind where his father, where his son is living. He wants to see his son. They told his father Haritha where they met him and who is he by. Father Haritha and his uncle Ka'b, the sons of Shurahil, went and they carried a large sum of money to ransom their son. They came to Makkah Mukarramah asking, where is Muhammad? Where is Muhammad? They were told he's there by the holy masjid. They came to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They greeted him and they said, Yabna Abdul Muttalib. Now remember, this is prior to the advent of prophethood sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh, the son of Abdul Muttalib. Oh, the son of Hashim. Oh, the son of the leader of his people. You are the people of the Haram. You are the neighbors of the Kaaba. You alleviate the pangs of people. You feed the hungry. You liberate the captives. We've come to you concerning our son that is enslaved by you. Would you be kind to us and favor us and accept our ransom in his regard? Whatever you demand, sir, we will pay it to you in full. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who are you referring to? They said, we refer to Zayd bin Haritha. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, anything else can I do for you? They said, no, that's all we want. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's akhlaq, he wants to do anything for them. This was the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever came to Makkah Mukarramah, he used to show khidmah. There's so many amazing reports, even after the advent of Nubuwwah. Before the advent and after the advent. When people came to Makkah Mukarramah, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do for them. Before the advent of Nubuwwah, he used to make ikram of them, hospitality, akhlaq. And he learned, Allah showed him to do that. And he comes from such an amazing family. Abdul Muttalib would do that, would serve the Hujjaj himself. He was the leader, the king of Makkah, but he used to serve the people. Hashim used to prepare the curry and used to break the roti inside the curry and cook and feed the people. We learn from this noble family that serving doesn't bring you down, it raises you. Serve people. Take with your hand and give people. And don't feel they are lower than you when you're giving them. This was that amazing quality. This is how Allah raises you. Anyway, prior to Nubuwwah and post Nubuwwah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but post Nubuwwah, he used to make the akhlaq and the ikram and he used to give the dawat. So whoever came, even on one occasion, two people from Medina came, Mu'adh and Rifa'ah, prior to them becoming radiyallahu anhumah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam greeted them, approached them. See, that's a very, very important thing, to greet people. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and today sadly it's noticed, you know, very, very rife, that no one wants to greet. All of us are waiting for others to greet. Why don't we be the first to greet? Greet with a smile. Greet with love. Greet with akhlaq. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a time will come where people will not greet each other. Why must we be a sign, a negative sign of Qiyamah? Why don't we be the one who will bring alive the sunnah that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they are the ghuraba. Despite others neglecting my sunnah, they will bring alive my sunnah. Others don't want to greet, they will greet. Others want to show bad character, they will show good character. That's how we should be. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meets them and then he offers them any services that he can do for them. So they asked him, but aren't you the one that we've been warned to stay away from? Imagine, he's showing so much of akhlaq to every person that the Meccan people, out of fear that the dawah is reaching every individual, I ask you, in our societies, have the non-Muslims received the da'wah? Have the non-Muslims heard about Islam? They haven't. They haven't. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam actually was reaching every person that these two are saying that we've been warned to stay away from you. He says, yes, yes, they have warned you about me, but what can I do for you? They said, you know, your character is so sublime. Yes, can you make arrangements for our conveyances to be kept? He said, of course. So that's the incident there. And then he gave them dawat also. And I've discussed what dawat he gave them also, that you and I can use in our dawat. Very, very simple. Ask them simple questions, that our Creator who made us, isn't he one and the same? This earth that we live on, didn't he make it? So basically, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was teaching them not to worship the creation, but worship the Creator of everything. Anyway, so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam welcomes this two father and uncle of Hazrat Zayd. And then he said, of course, I'll send him with you, but I'll give him the choice. Because how can I force him to go with you? Maybe he doesn't want to go with you. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent someone called Zayd, because I cannot choose and send away the one who chooses me. They said, you've been so kind. Ahsant, ya ibn al-akramin, and rightfully so. You are the son of the noblest of people. You've been more than just to us, and more than fair with us, and more than kind to us. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called for Hazrat Zayd. They said, Zayd, you know them? Of course, yes, yes. This is my father Zayd, my uncle Ka'b. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay, you are with me, but now you're welcome to choose. You can stay, and you can stay happily as you always have been staying happily, or you may choose them and you go also nicely. Zayd responded without a stammer or a doubt, without even confusion. He said, Ma ana billadhi akhtaru alayka ahada, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I can never ever choose anyone over you. Imagine, respected Ummah, his father is right there. His uncle is right there. His father who loves him, adores him. His uncle who cares for him. And now he has to choose between Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And remember, this is prior to Nubuwwah. And now he's given a choice. You can go scot-free. He says, I can never ever choose anyone over you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are to me more than a father and an uncle. Anta minni bimakani al-abi wal-am. His father and his uncle astonishingly said, because they were now sure that Zayd is going with them, they asked him, are you preferring to be in bondage over your freedom? And you're choosing slavery over your father and your uncle and your family? Subhanallah. Hazrat Zayd said, no, I've seen in this man what you see in nobody else. He is something else. I'll never choose anyone over him, my respected father and uncle. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw this, you know, the worry of the father and the uncle. Subhanallah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam picked up Hazrat Zayd. So we learn he was a young man, you know, Zayd. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went by the Kaaba. He went near the Hijr, Ismail, the semicircle of the Kaaba there. And he announced by the Kaaba in Makkah Mukarramah to all those present, Ya man hadar, everyone, all and sundry, everyone present, I want you to bear witness, ishhadu, that Zayd is my son. Anna Zaydan ibni. Zayd is my son. He will inherit from me, and I will inherit from him. His father saw this. His uncle saw this. They were touched. They left happily. Our son is in such a place that you can't be in anybody else's care. You can never be in a better place. Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's akhlaq was known. Sublime. But what's astonishing, respected Ummah, this is even prior to Nubuwwah. Can't you and I improve our akhlaq? Yes, we are weak. But when we make a mistake, can't we apologize? When we insult somebody, can't we apologize? Can't we think of our beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And then when we hurt somebody, swear somebody, belittle somebody, mock somebody, look down upon somebody, think we better than somebody, go back and say, brother, I'm sorry. My Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us akhlaq, but our character is putrid and weak. We're trying. Please, make maaf, brother. Even if he's your staff, ask for maaf, brother. Ask for maaf. We got the best example. The man of character through and through, sublime character. That being who Allah endorses and Allah praises his akhlaq. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah says, oh my Nabi, your akhlaq is impeccable. Your akhlaq is such and your ihsan upon humanity is such that no one can ever repay you for the ihsan that you have conferred upon them. وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ. Humanity can never repay you for what you've done for them. مَمْنُونَ. No man can be made upon you because you have favored everyone. You've blessed and favored the world through this deen and this akhlaq that you taught to the world. And the other meaning of ghayra mamnoon is ghayra maqtu'. Your rewards are unlimited because everyone who came to the truth has come through you or through someone who came through you, the Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum, or through someone and someone who came through them who came through you, because the tabi'een were taught by the Sahaba and the atba'ut tabi'een were taught by the tabi'een and so on and so on and so on. So your reward, O my beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is unlimited and is continuous. Ghayra mamnoon. So don't you and I also want some continuous rewards? How are we going to do that? Leave a legacy, make a difference out there in the world. Allah gives us another day, take it as our last day. It could be, make a difference, make a call, pick up someone, visit someone, ask maaf from someone, make salam to someone that you never made salam to, and make a difference in someone's life, Muslim or non-Muslim. Take somebody for Jumu'ah, take somebody for lunch, but don't do haram. Now, my brother, you take them in. My sister, you make ikram of some of the lady and you tell her about Islam. Gee, Allah give us tawfiq. Talk about Allah. See, today for a few minutes, I'm going to introduce my Allah to some non-Muslim or some Muslim. And I'm going to introduce my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to somebody and somebody. See somebody passing on the road, ask that man about Christ. He'll know, even though his understanding is incorrect, because he knows something because the missionaries reached him. He doesn't know about our Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam because you and me have lackadaisically, have lazily, and have haughtily sat down and hoarded the truth to ourselves. Anyway, that was none other than Hazrat Zayd radiallahu anhu. May Allah give us more opportunities and another opportunity to continue with the discussion of Hazrat Zayd radiallahu anhu, who was so close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was referred to as the son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Barakallahu feekum for the opportunity. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Saab, for that message. Make dua for us as well. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.